Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 17th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, 2006 agricultural exports are on track to make USDA's $68 billion goal. Ford Motor Company officials say it's time to stop messing with ag in the WTO and to make a deal on manufactured goods. And the top dog at EPA will get out of the Beltway tomorrow. He'll be on a farm to find out just how dirty the job might be in Iowa. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear from statisticians across the Midwest. Corn harvest, as of Sunday, about 40% done. The beans, nearly 70% complete. Oh, and just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat, $5.31. The settlement price down 11.5. Their trading range, 557 to 529. March contract, 537.5, down 7 cents for the wheat pit. Corn futures, 321. Their settlement price up 4.25. They went to a new contract high today of 324.5 for the December corn. March futures 329.25, up 2.75. And the May contract at 335.75, up 3.25. July corn futures next year, 339, up 4.75. November soybeans, $6.50. The trading up 11.5 at the end of the day. January futures, 614.5, up 11 cents. And March futures at 623.75, up 10.5. November beans, 655.5. They were up 8.25. December bean meal futures up $2 at $180.50. December bean oil at $25.68, 75 cents higher for the day. Feeder cattle at the Mercantile Exchange, $106.75. They were up $1.10. October live cattle at $87.92.5, 32.5 cents higher. And December futures at $87.32.5 were up a dime. Lean hogs are rather down a dime. December lean hogs at $59.72.5 were off $1.07.5. for the day. Taking a quick look at the outside markets, crude oil futures November contract, $58.90 a barrel, down $1.04. The CRB at 308.17, they were off 0.39. The dollar at 86.83, that's down 0.12. And the Dow at 11,960 is currently down 19 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now for another wild day at the Mercantile Exchange and the Board of Trade is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
How you feeling?
How am I feeling? I'm feeling like I got to loosen up my seatbelt here. It's been a wild ride all day long and a lot of confusion as to what's really going on out there with no real fundamental reason for a lot of stuff to happen.
Yeah, a lot of confusion. Hey, you know, I think maybe we ought to start with the big news that came out of Chicago this morning. That's that the Mercantile Exchange and the Board of Trade plan to merge. The Merc's going to buy the board for $8 billion. There's a lot of cash on hand there. You thought, we thought earlier in last week that when Google decided to buy YouTube, that was a big deal. I think that was a $1.65 billion deal. This is a really big deal in Chicago.
This is a big deal. You know, and we're going to see them merge together. They're going to probably move over to the Board of Trade building, leave the Merc over on 30 Wacker, because they don't own the building over there, but they do. But the board does own the building where they're at. So, number one, I'm afraid that this does lean a tendency towards more electronic activity, as we've seen take over in a lot of the pits over at the Merc and some things like that. So, you know, with electronic stuff taking over, they do have room over at the Board of Trade for them. We'll probably see reduction in some staffs up there between the two because there's, you know, they're doing the same thing, clearing whatever both places, and they can combine their computer business.
And they will become, I believe, the world's largest derivative exchange.
Yes.
So we'll watch that one as it develops. But today we need to talk a little bit about the wheat market. If you're watching the wheat, it went to a new contract high and then drove lower today. Put in a pretty convincing outside down day, but it's all the way up on the top end of the range. Yeah. What'd you make of the trade?
Well, you know, we saw once again after the debacle last week, as we talked to some of our friends in the wheat pit, the locals are tending, when the funds come in with big orders, to put their hands in their pockets and stand back and sort of let them move the market one or the other without them stepping in and taking some liquidity out. We thought for a while that the lower close in the wheat, it did pull the corn and the beans off their highs, which later came back and did some stuff. But I think that we are getting somewhat toppy here in the wheat for right now, just out of the fact that just the idea, the attitude, we went far enough for right now, and there does seem to be a backing off of people wanting to buy wheat out there for the different countries for export. And we are seeing some really good numbers of wheat being planted in the ground right now.
I did make note that one of the things that came out of the press releases, or maybe one of just the stories probably more than likely that I read about the Merck and the board merging, is that there would be maybe more day traders, more locals available to take on some of the liquidity issues that seem to be plaguing at least the wheat pit in these particular days. And that has caused a lot of confusion up there and a lot of bloodletting over the last week and a half, I would think.
Yes, there's a lot of people that aren't there anymore. There's a lot of cautious attitudes of the ones that are left. I mean, we have, a lot of the people are just, they saw some very seasoned veteran traders that are no longer available in the pit and had to leave. So, the fact of the matter is they're becoming a lot more cautious about stepping and taking the other side of a trade. So that is one of the things, liquidity in the wheat pit is poor right now.
And this is something that the Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, may have to take up. And I believe it's probably the fund and the spec buying it, because there's so much outside money. We talked about $8 billion being a lot of money, but the outside money is so much larger than what we're used to, what they're used to trading with in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, when you have more money than in there trading a commodity than what the whole crop is, it does change things to making it quite difficult as far as, when it's all said and done, it should go back to fundamentals and what the commercials are actually doing with the producers on this and not just a group of people thinking what it should be done. And we've got away from that a little bit, and I know that they like the volume at the Board of Trade and probably wouldn't like what I'm saying here, but we've let some of the trading limits get too high.
Yeah, on the bright side for producers, the fund markets can seem to buy all the time and they don't sell.
They have a tendency to drive things a lot higher than what they would go without them there. So as far as the farmer's concerned, he's offering some real opportunities at this point in time and maybe some more down the road where we overextend the bullishness of what's really out there.
We're quickly wrapping up our time. A quick word on the corn and the bean markets for me, please.
Well, like I say, we continue to see the technical strength, highs, new highs in the corn, new highs in the beans, just a lot of strength and a lot of buying going on. People scared to step in front of the freight train.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola says tonight across the two-state region, partly to mostly cloudy skies, widespread areas of dense fog developing overnight. Lows will range from 45 in northwestern Illinois to 56 in the far south tomorrow, he says. In northern and western Illinois, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers arriving. Elsewhere, partly sunny and milder. Highs will range from 55 in northwestern Illinois to around 80 in southern Illinois. Extended forecast, wet fields continue to keep most field work at a standstill. A quick-moving weather system will bring hit and run showers to the area tomorrow through Thursday afternoon. Dave Dickey is here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, The latest ag trade update from USDA's Economic Research Service says the U.S. ag exports are on track with the fiscal year 2006 forecast of $68 billion. With just 1 month remaining in the fiscal year, exports are at $63.4 billion. But the U.S. ag surplus is estimated at just $3.5 billion. American Farm Bureau trade economist Megan Provost says the surplus reflects growing U.S. consumer demand for foreign products.
Per capita income in the U.S. has been going up as well. So the American consumers are demanding a lot more variety in their diets. For example, now you go to the grocery store and you can buy fresh strawberries year-round, whereas even a few years ago, we were only able to purchase strawberries when they were in season in the United States.
According to the latest USDA data, imports rose 6% from July to August, while exports fell 5%. Officials at the Ford Motor Company say the U.S. should stop stressing agriculture in world trade talks and make a deal on manufactured goods. Steve Biegun is vice president of international government affairs for the Ford Motor Company. Biegun says U.S. manufacturers are getting, in his words, the rap that they are not working hard enough to make the Doha round succeed. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Stephen Johnson will make his way to Iowa for a visit with GOP Senator Chuck Grassley tomorrow. Grassley has expressed concerns with a final rule related to coarse particulate matter and invited Johnson to his farm so he can see the fall harvest firsthand and explain how EPA expects farmers to contain dust within their farms. American Farm Bureau regulatory specialist Paul Schlegel says producers are worried about the lack of an exemption for agriculture.
The agency has said the exemption was not included because they did not feel legally that they could withstand a court challenge to that provision. I think we probably disagree with their conclusion, but the fact is it's not in the final provision. And so we have to look at this rule for what it does to agriculture, the impact it would have, and what it's going to mean for our members and producers.
EPA officials have claimed the new rules will have little or no impact on agriculture, but Schlegel is not so sure.
As people are harvesting, you could have levels of dust and coarse particulate matter that go above the allowable limits on coarse particulate matter. Senator Grassley has been very vocal in saying he wants to demonstrate what this means for agriculture on a daily basis for people trying to do their jobs and produce the food that America needs.
Grassley is also asking the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee to hold a hearing on the matter. A Quebec farmer has initiated a class action lawsuit in court claiming the Canadian government and a multinational feed company knew how to prevent the spread of mad cow disease a decade before BSE showed up in Canadian cattle, but did nothing. The suit says Quebec farmers lost as much as $7 billion by the inaction. Similar class action applications are also pending in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Ontario. If the Quebec lawsuit is approved by the courts, ranchers are hopeful it will promote the other jurisdictions to do likewise. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. There you'll find all the latest facts and figures from USDA, as well as the latest MP3 files from our daily ag programming. You can download them directly from the website or sign up to have them delivered to your computer via iTunes, Macintosh, or PC anytime you'd like, right there as a podcast. It's all at willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and
beginning
farmers.
Yesterday, USDA released the weekly crop progress report. It showed nationwide that 41% of the corn had been harvested, the normal for the five-year average at 43%. Soybeans harvested nationwide at 69%. And normally 65% on the five-year rolling average. Taking a closer look at some of the state breakdowns, Illinois 63% compared to 62% on corn, 75 and 73 on soybeans. Indiana at 28%, lagging the five-year average for corn harvest. That's normally at 40% by this time. And on soybeans, they're at 49%. The five-year rolling average in Indiana, 64% harvested. Iowa, 31% harvested for corn, 29% the five-year average. 87% of the beans in Iowa have been put in the bin, and that's ahead of schedule. Normally, they're around 79% harvested by this time each and every fall for the last 5 years. Wheat planted at this time, 79% nationwide, 80% is the rolling five-year average, but wheat emerged is lagging just a bit. Nationwide, it's 52% emerge, and that compares to 56%, but the soft red is behind. In Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, lagging by 7 to 15%.
This is Mark Schleusener with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 15th. Illinois farmers were busy harvesting last week in spite of rain showers, which slowed harvest progress for about 1 day. Additionally, the earliest snowfall ever was recorded in Rockford last week. Freezing temperatures were recorded as far south as Carbondale, with a low temp of 27 for the week. Average temperatures were 6 to 9 degrees below normal, and rainfall amounts ranged from 1/10 of an inch to 6/10 of an inch for the week. Southern areas of the state generally received less than 1/4 inch of precipitation. The average soil moisture across the state is rated as 9% very short, 25% short, 64% adequate, and 2% surplus. Western and southwestern areas continue to show low soil moisture levels. Both areas show at least 40% of soil moisture in the very short category. Soybean harvest continued at a rapid pace and reached 75% complete, compared to 81% last year and 73% for the five-year average. Over the last 2 weeks, Illinois farmers were able to harvest approximately 60% of the state's acreage. For the first time this season, soybean harvest has surpassed normal harvest progress. Corn harvest also caught up to normal pace and reached 63% complete, compared to 74% last year and 62% for the five-year average. Most areas of the state have now surpassed 50% corn harvested. Only the northwestern and northeastern areas of the state have yet to reach halfway done. In addition to corn and soybean harvest, wheat planting progressed rapidly. The state has reached 73% complete, compared to 68% last year at this time and 57% normally. Due to high futures prices, many producers are considering an increase in wheat acreage for 2007. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending October 15th. Indiana received its first killing frost last week, with some northern areas receiving snow flurries. Most of the state double crop soybeans have already started to turn color, reducing the damage potential from the frost. The weather prompted many farmers to focus their efforts on the soybean harvest, but it is still about 6 days behind the five-year average. For the week ending Friday, 5.3 days were rated as suitable for field work. Corn condition for Indiana is rated at 72% good to excellent, compared with 54% last year at this time. 92% of Indiana's corn acreage is rated mature, compared with 98% last year and 96% for the five-year average. 28% of Indiana's corn acreage has been harvested, compared with 44% for last year and 40% for the five-year average. Moisture content of corn harvested dropped 2 points from last week and is averaging about 20%. Soybean condition is rated 75% good to excellent. 90% of the soybean acreage has reached the mature stage, compared with 96% last year and 94% for the average. 49% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared with 68% for last year and 64% for the five-year average. Moisture content of soybeans harvested is averaging around 13%. This is Greg Pressman reporting from the Indiana Mass Field Office.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 15, 2006. Snow at midweek slowed progress only briefly in north central and northeast Iowa, where snow amounts varied from a trace to up to an inch. Much of the rest of the state received showers as the weekend progressed. Heaviest rains fell across the southwest and central Iowa, where a few locations received more than a half an inch of rain. Temperatures in Iowa began to moderate by Sunday, the 15th afternoon, with the highs reaching into the 60s. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 9.9 degrees below normal, while precipitation was just about average. In spite of this inclement weather, Iowa farmers managed to harvest 14% of the state's corn crop and 19% of the state's soybean crop during the past week. Over 3.5 million acres of cropland were harvested last week. Farmers in northwest and north central Iowa have nearly completed their soybean harvest, while the southern third of the state lags behind normal. One-third of the soybean crop in the southwest corner state remains to be harvested. Corn condition was reported as 9% very poor or poor, 22% fair, and 69% good or excellent, a small decline from the previous week. Corn harvest reached 31% in the state of Iowa, 3 percentage points behind last year, but 2 percentage points ahead of normal. Soybean condition was reported as 7% very poor or poor, 21% fair, and 72% good or excellent, a slight decline from the previous week as well. Soybean harvest was 87% complete, 1 day behind last year, but 5 days ahead of normal. This has been Joe Prusaki, USDA NAS, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 15, 2006.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 15, 2006. Rainfall slowed field work with many producers focused on the completion of soybean harvest. Irrigated cornfields rated 72% good or excellent, below last year's 83, while dryland cornfields rated 28, below last year's 39. Corn harvested was 26% complete, 1 week behind last year's 41 and 4 days behind the 34 average. Soybeans harvested rose to 73% complete, 1 week behind last year's 87, but even with the average. Sorghum harvested was 29% complete, behind last year's 39 and average of 38. Winter wheat was 95% seeded and 82% had emerged. Pasture and range conditions rated 18% good or excellent. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending October 15, 2006. Corn and soybean harvest continued with little interruption despite scattered snow flurries across the state. The soybean harvest neared completion as nearly one-third of the crop was harvested this past week. The corn harvest progressed rapidly toward the weekend, and the dry bean harvest was nearly complete. The average temperature for the week was 37.9 degrees, 10.3 degrees below normal. Temperatures dropped into the 20s, and a low of 15 degrees was recorded in Pipestone and Hibbing. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 3% very short, 9% short, 86% adequate, and 2% surplus. As of Sunday, October 15th, an estimated 28% of corn was harvested, 3 percentage points ahead of the 5-year average. Corn crop condition was rated 67% good or excellent. Soybeans harvested was 95% complete, 22 percentage points ahead of the 5-year average. The dry bean harvest was 96% complete, potato harvest 92%, sugar beet harvest 74%, and the sunflower harvest was 37% complete. The sunflower crop condition was rated 54% good or excellent. That's the weekly crop weather for the weekend October 15, 2006. I'm Dan Loftus with the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Agricultural Information Advantage, WILL AM 580. In just a couple of minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A new state task force will join the fight to bring the FutureGen low-pollution coal-fired power plant to East Central Illinois. The task force will include government, business, and environmental leaders and will try to lure an independent federal panel to build the billion-dollar experimental clean-burning plant to either Tuscola or Mattoon. The other site finalists are in Texas. The FutureGen plant is expected to bring with it more than 1,300 construction jobs and 150 permanent ones. One of the leaders of the Graduate Workers Union at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign says he's disappointed with the lack of progress in contract negotiations yesterday, especially on issues like health care and salary. Andrew O'Boyle says the bargaining sessions need to be more frequent. The next one between the administration and the Graduate Employees Organization is expected in 2 weeks. U of I negotiators have not been available for comment today. Third quarter net income more than doubled for the Chicago Board of Trade's parent company. CBOT Holdings announced the improved results today on the heels of word that it's being acquired by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for $8 billion in stock. It's time to polish your resume if you're interested in a job assembling Toyotas in Lafayette, Indiana. The Indiana Department of Workforce Development will begin taking applications for 600 or more new jobs on October 30th. The new Camry production line will be at Lafayette's Subaru plant. Indiana House Republicans are talking about job creation and health insurance. They're announcing a series of initiatives they plan to push next year to provide tax incentives to create more jobs and make it easier for families to afford health insurance. Finland's ambassador to the U.S. says small trade disputes are not interfering with the close economic relationship between America and the European Union. Pekka Lintu's nation currently holds the presidency of the EU. He says Finland can play a vital role in improving relations between the U.S. and Finland's largest neighbor, Russia. Ambassador Lintu spoke on the U of I campus this morning. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Joining us now to take our daily look at the agricultural weather forecast is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
I really wanted to say good day to you because I just said it so many times. I wanted to repeat it once more, but I couldn't. Hey, tell me, I'm sorry. Tell me about the weather. It's cool, dreary, gray, and it looks like it's going to get colder at some point. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. And it's going to be kind of up and down. Our temperatures are going to be down for a few days, up for a few days, and then down again. And every time we see a swing downward in temperature, there's going to be a little bit of shower activity moving in. That's going to be the case with some showers tomorrow, then a break Thursday and Friday, then maybe some showers and cooler weather moving in over the weekend. So for remaining harvest operations, it's going to be a little bit up and down in terms of getting out in those fields.
It'll be tough to get soybeans rolling through the combines again. They need some sunshine to get them dried back out. What are we looking at?
It's going to be tough sledding to get that. We just don't have an extended period of warm, dry weather because every time we get a break, we'll have these cool fronts moving in. Temperatures across the Midwest and the Corn Belt, soybean areas, through the next week to 10 days, we'll be averaging well below normal. Most of the country, with the exception of the far east and the far west, will see cooler than normal conditions, and it does look like precipitation chances are going to be good.
You know, the wet weather the past couple of days took the corn farmers out of the field, too. They weren't able to shuck. How much rainfall did they get?
Well, we saw rainfall amounts go anywhere from a half inch to upwards to 2 inches in some of the heavier areas with that cold, wet, stormy weather that came on through. That wasn't true everywhere, but it was a pretty solid, good rain in many areas.
That'll hold them out of the fields for a while, but eventually they'll start rolling back in the field, cornfields here in the Midwest. Tell me about South America, how the planting season has kicked off.
Well, they started off with some pretty dry soil conditions, but it's gotten a little bit better. It's going to help out some planting down there. Brazil especially going to be looking at more precipitation, maybe enough shower activity to delay some planting, but at the same time bringing them some needed moisture. Argentina, they're going to get some showers, but they could use some more. There are still some areas of Argentina that are still on the dry side.
And just an off-the-cuff kind of question about satellite views and vegetative views of South America. Will you be able to look at those and see how much of that Brazilian nation may not have been put into the ground for soybeans, do you think?
Well, it's going to be very hard to tell. You can tell that there's been cultivation. You can tell some things that maybe the ground's being worked, but the real telltale signs will be not until those plants emerge before you really get a good idea.
Yeah, and then you'll be able to get a better idea of how much has been sown. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, thanks much. Anything to add about Australia or China?
Well, China, a little bit on the moist side. The many areas of China expecting near to above normal precipitation, but on the cool side, Australia looking dry.
We appreciate you being with us, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoon, and that is today's CMR. Be sure to join us at 8:49 tomorrow morning for our first look at the agricultural markets. It happens each and every business day right here on your Agricultural Information Advantage, WILL. AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.
WILL programming is made possible in part by Illinois American Water. The employees of Illinois American Water are proud to serve Champaign County and are focused on being a good steward of the Mahomet Aquifer by funding research to help protect and preserve this valuable water source for future generations.